The LeConte is almost ready to set sail again, and a Skagway man remains jailed after a shooting. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The small ferry LeConte will remain out of service until Thursday. The Alaska Marine Highway vessel has not sailed passenger runs since the day before Thanksgiving. The problem is a broken bow thruster, which maneuvers the front of the vessel during dockings. Alaska Transportation Department spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the LeConte is in dry dock at the Ketchikan shipyard.
The repair plan is a little bit more extensive than maybe originally thought before they put it in dry dock. They realize that there are some issues that they're trying to solve the root of the problem so that this doesn't reoccur before replacing the entire bow thruster system.
Similar breakdowns last summer canceled several days of sailings. The full thruster replacement is scheduled for the winter of 2014-15. The LeConte is the only vessel running to Gustavus, Hoonah, Tenneke Springs, and Angoon. The Juneau-based ferry also sails to Haines and Skagway in the winter. The ferry Taku serves some of those communities also. An updated schedule is online at ferryalaska.com. Woodrow says it's no surprise the ferry is having problems.
The bow thruster is original to the ferry, and so it is an old part or old unit, and so that's one thing that they're looking at replacing in the next improvement project.
The LeConte is nearly 40 years old. It can carry up to 35 vehicles and 300 passengers. A Skagway man is in jail in Juneau on $10,000 bail for an apparent accidental shooting of a woman. 49-year-old Carl Timothy Forrester is charged with felony assault after shooting a woman with a 12-gauge shotgun. Skagway police say the woman is still recovering at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. The incident took place on November 23rd in Skagway. According to court documents, police responded to a 911 call of a victim with a gunshot wound at a home on 9th Avenue and Spring Street. An officer found Forrester sitting in the middle of the road with a neighbor. The injured woman was inside a nearby home where another neighbor was treating her wound. Forrester told police he was threatening to shoot himself when the woman tried to stop him and the shotgun went off, injuring the woman. The woman's details of events match Forrester's, according to police. Police categorized the felony charge as reckless rather than intentional. Police recovered a shotgun in the bedroom of the house. Police wrote in court papers that the woman suffered a shattered clavicle in her right shoulder. The woman was transported to Juneau by Coast Guard helicopter and then medevaced to Seattle. Forrester was held at Skagway Police Department until he could be flown to Lemon Creek Correctional Facility in Juneau. His first court appearance was held via teleconference from Skagway when bail was set. He has not yet had another court date to enter a plea. And in getting caught up with some of the news that happened the week of Thanksgiving, the state has ordered a Seattle-based medevac insurance program to end its coverage in Alaska. The program, which is based at a university, says it's a bad decision. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Airlift Northwest's Air Care program fills the gap between air ambulance charges and what health insurance pays. Marty Hester of the Alaska Division of Insurance says it's changed the way it does business. That means it has to follow a different set of rules.
The exemption that they were operating under was as a nonprofit, and with their corporate restructure, they were no longer deemed a nonprofit. Therefore, the exemption no longer applied to them.
The decision will not affect Airlift Northwest's ability to provide medical evacuation flights in the state. It and other air ambulance services take seriously ill or injured patients to hospitals with level of care not locally available. Medevacs can cost $100,000 or more, depending on the distance and route. Airlift Northwest began more than 30 years ago as part of the University of Washington's medical system, which also includes hospitals and clinics. It operated for a while as a separate nonprofit group, but it moved back to the university a few years ago. Executive Director Chris Martin says Airlift Northwest remains a nonprofit agency under Washington state rules, so she's disappointed Alaska officials decided it isn't.
We have a business license with the state of Alaska. We have, you know, our Juneau base in the state of Alaska. Nothing has changed, and this letter to us came out of the blue.
Martin says the AirCare program has more than 1,600 Alaska members. They've all been sent a letter saying coverage will end when their year-long memberships run out. The program also will not be allowed to enroll any new Alaskans. The State Insurance Division's Hester says the issue is not at all related to the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare. He says Airlift Northwest voluntarily complied with the order, and he says it could change its Alaska program and resume business.
If they decide to become compliant with Alaska insurance statutes and offer an insurance product, an approved insurance product, then they'd be able to offer the membership program.
Airlift Northwest's Martin says that's not going to happen. She says the service started the AirCare program to fill a need, not to make money.
You know, we are part of the University of Washington, and our mission is air medical transport, not insurance, and nor is the university's.
Most of its Alaska business is in Southeast, but it also serves Anchorage and other parts of the state. Its main competitor, Utah-based Guardian Flight, does not have a similar membership program. Fairbanks-based Apollo Meditrans offers medevac insurance in Alaska. The state shut it down for part of this year after it failed to renew its license. State officials say it's not affected by this decision. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
The Haynesboro Library is hosting an informational session Tuesday about the Affordable Care Act. The session will take place on video conferencing through the Online with Libraries program. Brett Kolb, director of the Alaska Division of Insurance, will be part of the conference to explain how the exchanges will work in Alaska, how to sign up for them, and he will be answering questions. It's not clear if the program is just for the Haynes audience or if other libraries will be online for the presentation. The library did not have that information, and the Division of Insurance did not respond to requests for more information. The video conferencing begins at 5 p.m. Tuesday at the Borough Library. Speaking an endangered language at home is the essence of language revitalization, according to author Leanne Hinton. She's written the book Bringing Our Languages Home and was recently in Juneau for a Tlingit conference. Lisa Fu spoke to Hinton and a Juneau mother who's trying it out.
Misha Jackson and her husband are speaking Tlingit to their 10-month-old baby, Michaelin.
We do little words and phrases and commands at home and try to expose her as much as she can to the elders that speak conversationally so she can just hear it. She loves to hear it, so it gets her attention better than English does.
Jackson herself doesn't speak the language well. Her family has roots in Klukwan, but Jackson grew up in Anchorage, then lived in Southern California. Her mother taught her Tlingit songs, and that's about it. By speaking Tlingit at home, Jackson wants to give her daughter something she didn't have. Jackson's husband, on the other hand, was exposed to the language growing up in Cake.
Her dad got to listen to his grandparents, and he's a much better speaker because of it, whereas for me, I can't make the same sounds as easily as he can, so I know it makes a huge difference.
Jackson is doing exactly what Leanne Hinton recommends for parents who may not speak a language but want to make it a part of their home.
All it really takes is dedication to the language. It doesn't even take fluency because you can be learning with your children. Like many of the families I know started from scratch when their children were already born, and as they learned, they were bringing it home bit by bit and making it more and more the language of their home.
Hinton is Professor Emeritus of Language at the University of California, Berkeley. She specialized in American Indian languages, sociolinguistics, and language loss and revival. She's written a number of books on keeping endangered languages alive and says speaking the native language at home is the key. Home, she says, is the last place where it disappeared.
To get it back into the home again is the one time that the language is actually going to become naturally acquired again by children so that actual native speakers are occurring. Once people are learning it at home and using it, then you feel like you're beginning to be out of danger for the language.
Hinton says ideally, parents would only speak the endangered language at home, but that's usually not the case.
Most of the people that I've interviewed are lucky if they use it 50% of the time. And 50% of the time is actually a fairly good ratio, but you want more for an endangered language if possible.
Parents like Jackson, who speak their native language at home, will likely face some challenges when their children go to school and their peers and teachers are speaking English. Hinton says children may then refuse to speak the native language at home, but there are ways to tackle this problem.
One way is to start trying to talk about how important it is to use the language. But that may not go over with a five-year-old. Some parents just simply won't respond to their kids if the kids talk to them in English. They'll talk to the kids in their endangered language, and if the kids talk back in English, they'll just say, I don't understand. Sometimes that works quite well.
Another option is making language a game. Imagine jars with pennies inside. Every family member gets one. If a person catches another saying something in English that could be said in their indigenous language, that person gets to take a penny out of the other's jar and put it into their own jar. At this point, Jackson doesn't have to worry about those challenges yet. She says her daughter, Michaelyn, isn't saying much in English or in Tlingit.
Every once in a while we laugh because it sounds like she says kla, like she's saying hukla. So we crack up whenever she does that.
That's Tlingit for gee whiz. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Lisa Fu for help with this report. Thanks for Tara Bicknell for filling in over the holiday. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.